get ready for the journey of a lifetime. Omega Metroid is excited to launch a new series exclusive to our Patreon channel, The Great Metroid Area Ranking. Our mission is simple. We are going to rank every single area in the Metroid series two at a time. Join us on our Patreon as we delve into all the different locales across this amazing series and get in on the action by helping dictate what areas we rank next. The Great Metroid Area Ranking is available to all Omega Metroid tier patrons. Join us on this incredible adventure and help us decide for the final time which Metroid area is the greatest of them all. OmegaMetroid.com's Patreon is the home to the Great Metroid Area Ranking, ROM Hack Reviews, The Spiteri Show, and so much more. Consider signing up today and see you next mission. Hello everyone, welcome to the ZeldaCast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined by Allison Aletha. How was your week, Al? I saw Spider-Verse on Friday.
Ooh, did you like it?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I knew I would love it.
Yeah.
I knew I would love it.
It was great. Yeah, I love it. Awesome. It's just, I honestly think I might need to go see it again.
Yeah.
Because I was so, like, mesmerized by the visuals, and there was so much happening that I'm sure I missed a ton. So I'm like, really to gather how I feel about it, I might go watch it again.
Okay, I have one. I don't. I, even calling it a critique is a little bit too harsh, but like I had one piece of feedback, maybe critical feedback for it, and it's not the ending. It was that I almost think people are gonna dump all over me for saying this. I almost think that it was like too artistic at times, particularly when they were in Gwen's world. It like and, yeah. and it looked amazing, but it was like, all the colors were always changing all the time, and it was kind of like, I'm not going to say it was distracting, but like you notice it when there's like important scenes going on too. That's my only critique of that movie.
I think I did hear an interview where they said that Gwen's universe was like a mood ring, and that's why the colors are like that.
Very cool.
Which makes a lot of sense, but I do think that there were points where, especially when she was looking at her dad, like, no spoilers, but when she was looking at her dad, there was a couple times where it was, like, back and forth looking at each other, and I was just like, okay, I get it. I understand there's emotions going on here. We don't need this back and forth with the colors changing and blah, blah, blah. Like, I understand the emotion because of their acting, too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I 100% understand what you're saying.
And, like, I can't say that I think it was a critique, necessarily, but it was just something I noticed. But, yeah, the movie was incredible. It was so awesome. Yeah,
very good.
I have something related to Spider-Verse to share that's going to tie into the Zelda cast, maybe not next week, but probably the week after. We're going to have an announcement. I've got something up my sleeve that I think you might enjoy, Al.
Ooh, exciting. I love that we start talking about Spider-Verse.
Yeah, welcome to the Spider cast here on SpiderDungeon.net.
I love it.
That was, how you been, Al? How's your Tears of the Kingdom? You know what? Should we just get right into the nitty gritty here and start with our favorite weekly segment, which is Tears of the Kingdom progress update?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, let's see how miserable my stats are compared to yours this week.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay. All right. I have a bazillion hearts. I can't even count them. I don't even know. I've got 14 batteries. I've got 141 shrines, 103 light roots. God, this number is actually depressing.
I'm sorry, did you say 141 shrines?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm almost done with shrines. And then Koroks. I have 900 Koroks, but there's still 100 left.
Oh my God.
So much. I was telling Andy before that we started the show that I'm ready to beat the game today. Like, I'm ready. I want to do it. But at the same time, part of me is like, I really want to get all these Koroks done, these little bastards. Like, I'm sick of them, you know? But it kind of depends. If I make it to the end of the night and I'm able to get all the Koroks before I beat the game, great. If not, because I'm going to be gone next weekend and I won't have time to play. And that's another 2 weeks of potentially being spoiled, so.
Okay, what are your hours in this game? I feel like that's an important stat that perhaps we've been neglecting.
215.
215. Wow. Okay. Well, I kind of feel like a chump, but maybe not as much of a chump. So I'm here I go.
I don't think you should feel like a chump.
Well, I do. So I've got 120 hours in. I have not had as much time as I'd like to play, although I did sink some time in yesterday, which is nice. I've got also like a million hearts. I've got 8 batteries. I have 136 shrines, so you have officially surpassed me in terms of shrines. I've got 94 light roots, and I've got 81 Koroks.
It's nice.
81, baby.
I love it. And like I love it because you have no interest in finding Koroks, but you've still found 81. So I'm proud of you.
It's like, it just makes me sick having to find these Koroks and do these puzzles again. And like, let's just say that there's 100 of those Koroks that are just like, hey, like get me to my buddy. I think I would have been okay with that. Cause at least it's something kind of new, something kind of fresh. But like, man, I was like, I was in the lake of the horse god or whatever. And like, I saw the lilies in the circle in the water where you have to dive in. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I am not doing it.
I absolutely refuse.
I just don't want to do it again.
I will say, and I don't remember if I said this on the show before, but I do like kind of appreciate the continuity of these Koroks. I will go to a puzzle that I remember doing in Breath of the Wild and it's the reverse. So you like roll a rock down the hill and now you have to pick up the rock and put it back where it was. Or, you know, there's a bunch of other things where you have to kind of do something that it's like the reverse of what you did in Breath of the Wild. So I kind of like that. Like, it's kind of a neat little like, ooh, I remember that.
Right.
But at the same time, it's just, there's just so many and I'm so over it. And the only reason I'm doing it is not because I really enjoy it, but because I like to 100% each Zelda game. So
right.
I need to have that final, you know, it's more of a compulsion and an issue than a desire.
Well, I'm going to say this. I dare anybody, if anybody listening to this show has more Koroks, has more hours played, has more completed than Alice and Aletha, message us, because I want to meet you and see, like, what's wrong with you. No, I'm kidding, but 900 Koroks. Golly. Oh, my God. Okay.
What?
Well, we're talking about the dungeons of this game today, and we're going to get into that in a second. We just had somebody say that they have all 1,000 Koroks in our chat. We're streaming this episode live on Twitch.tv,
man.
By the way.
Man or woman.
Oh, my.
Dedication.
You're crazy, but good crazy. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the dungeons today. So needless to say, there's going to be an element of spoilers. We're going to get into that in just a second. Before we do, last week we came on this show and we said, hey, we got an extra copy of this game to give away. Let's give it away. And what we did was we asked everybody to leave us a review for the show. And I kind of thought that like this was, after we did it, I was like, a bunch of people were having problems with it, and I was like, oh man, this kind of is turning into a fiasco. But we got there, actually. We got a ton of awesome reviews over on iTunes, over on Spotify. I wish I could read them all, but there was tons of them. So it was super awesome to see. We made it. We pulled it together at the end. So now we are going to, I put everybody's name into one of those like Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune wheels, and now we're going to pick, and we are going to give away a copy of this game. So without further ado, let's go, and let's spin the wheel and make a deal. So I need to figure out how to actually... Oh, there you go. Spin. Okay, so we're spinning.
Put your button, Andy.
We're spinning. It's going. It's landing on... Okay, JWG1S. you have just won yourself a copy of Tears of the Kingdom. So, JWG1S. So, that's awesome. Congratulations. Slide into my DMs, okay? I'm over on Twitter at Spiteri316. You can reach me on Discord, Spiteri316. Whatever is the best. You can email me, andy.spiteri@zeldadungeon.net. Whatever is your best way to get a hold of me, get a hold of me, and I will ship this off to you. And enjoy your copy of Tears of the Kingdom. And man, thank you so much to everybody that left a review and entered. It was really awesome. We've never tried this before. We never tried this leave a review thing before. It's always been follow, retweet kind of thing. So I was a little bit apprehensive about this at the beginning, but I think it worked out. I think it worked out and we got there at the end. So it was great.
Congrats to the winner. That's awesome. And yeah, thanks everybody for leaving awesome reviews. And I read through some of them and they're really nice. And really, really appreciate you guys.
Everybody loves you, Al. People are kind of like, yeah, on me. Everybody loves you.
Because you hate Twilight Princess is why.
Well, hate's a strong word.
Hate is a strong word.
I dare say that I saw our pal Catherine in our chat too, and we Catherine has a special surprise for everybody coming up at the Zelda Dungeon Marathon about Twilight Princess.
Yes,
that I was privy to see it, which was incredible. So
it's awesome.
Stay tuned. Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about these dungeons in this game. And so before we get going, I obviously want to say that there will be spoilers that we're going to talk about, and I don't quite know how to say it without even spoiling the fact. So I'm just gonna let's go ahead and say right here, if you're very concerned about dungeon spoilers, turn back and come back when you're done. When you're done with all the main quests, okay? I think that you want to be up to the last main quest, which is basically beat Ganondorf. And I don't think that's a spoiler, but, like, that's your last main quest. So you want to be... You want to have everything finished up until then if you want to come and listen to this episode. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's 100% fair. You want to have all your main quests done except for that remaining one of, you know, beat the game. Because, yeah,
right.
Without spoiling it... You know, we're going to be talking about the dungeons and everything in between.
So, there are six dungeons that we're going to be talking about today. Okay, six. And so, if you are listening and you're just like, six? What? This episode is not for you. Not yet, okay?
Not yet.
So,
come back
if what I just said kind of set off some bells. But we're going to be talking about six dungeons, and we are going to be dissecting them and discussing them. We're not going to be ranking them necessarily, but that's going to come later. I think once all the dungeons are done, like the DLC, all that kind of stuff is done. But we want to have a deep dive into the dungeons because I think that was such a point of contention in this game, like leading up to the game and from Breath of the Wild. So last chance, six dungeons. We're going to be talking about them. If you have not completed up to Destroy Ganondorf, you probably want to turn back and come at a later date just so that you have the maximum, you know, the maximum amount of enjoyment of this show. So
100%.
Nobody say that we spoiled anything, okay? Because this is your warning. This is your warning, by God. You know what?
Always that one person every week.
I will say, I didn't get anybody last week that said you spoiled this.
Oh, okay, good.
I will say that. So there we go.
I will give another warning too. If anybody hasn't like beaten this game yet, we're starting to get into that time point where people are not giving spoiler warnings anymore. They think that enough time has passed.
Well, we're a month. Yeah, we're a month out. So we're gonna ramp up.
Just be careful. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we're still gonna sit here and give our little spiel about spoiler. We're probably gonna do that for like the foreseeable future. Just to be courteous, because it only takes us a minute or two to say that. But just be warned. Okay. Dungeons. Six of them. Turn back if you have not done everything up to Destroy Ganondorf. Okay, that being said, Al, let's talk about these dungeons. And I think what we should do is, before we would talk about like the specific dungeons themselves, maybe what we should do is kind of backtrack a little bit to Breath of the Wild and the release of this game coming up. And because there's a lot of talk about like how, you know, we want traditional dungeons. We want
you know, just like not Divine Beast style dungeons. And shortly before the game actually released, EGA Enuma said, like, we got traditional dungeons coming back here, guys. And I think that was like half true and half not true. But I think just like generally speaking, we talked about it a little bit when we talked about the Rito section, but like generally speaking, what was your, I don't know, like reaction, I guess, when you got to your first dungeon and they were like, hey, you need to activate the five whatevers in order to get to the final boss. Because I was a little bit disappointed, as I said a while back. Although I think that these dungeons in general do rise above what came before. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I did the Rito section first, as we talked about, and when you get there, it, like, the act of getting there is so vastly different to what you did in Breath of the Wild, and the scenery is different. Like, obviously, these dungeons have very regional looks, which I think is what they said in that interview, what Nintendo said in that interview, is, like, they have a very regional feel versus the Divine Beasts, which all felt the same, just maybe had different elemental, you know, differences. So getting there, I was super pumped and I thought it looked different enough. And then when I was told you have to get the five whatevers to continue on with the story or the dungeon, etc., I was a tiny bit like, oh, this is kind of like the Divine Beast. But part of me was like holding out thinking like, yes, it may be like the Divine Beast, but they still had to keep it like modern dungeon enough, like openness. You can go to whatever and do whatever you want, but at the same time, maybe incorporate, you know, traditional dungeon formula. So I kept like an open mind and an open heart about it, but I was initially kind of like, oh, this is a little Divine Beast-ish.
Yeah, I agree. I you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. I think that like initially I was just like, but then like even like playing through the first dungeon, I was kind of like, it kind of won me over, because I was like, okay, what do I really love in a Zelda dungeon? Is it the puzzles and, like, finding small keys and finding a compass and a map? I do love that, but it's not, like, the number one thing. I think the most important thing for a dungeon for me is, like, the aesthetic, the mood, the setting, the vibe, for lack of a better word, right? Like, that's a big component of it for me, and as well as, like, strong puzzles. And I think that, I mean, you definitely can't say that any of these dungeons don't have good puzzles, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that I was kind of like iffy about, I think like in a bubble, like they all have like really strong puzzles. And I think that like the setting of them is vastly, vastly improved over the Divine Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't have that interactive mechanic that the Divine Beast had, but I feel like I didn't miss that actually.
No, I didn't either. Like, I appreciate it in Breath of the Wild. It makes a lot of sense how these are divine beasts that can be controlled by the champions, and then you kind of figure out that control, blah, blah, blah. Like, I appreciate it for that game, but I'm glad they didn't, like, continue that on. There were things where I was like, again, I'll say this week after week, it was so weird that they're getting away with doing something just different enough, but it's still the same, and they're totally getting away with it to be, like, I'm satisfied, but I know, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, they're just playing us, like,
yeah,
in a way.
yeah, exactly, and the only thing for me that they haven't got away with that yet is those damn Koroks, because that one is where I was like, I draw the line, like, no.
Yeah, I'm the same, I'm very upset that that's still there.
But yeah, I think that generally speaking, these dungeons are a mixture of, like, the elements that worked, not all the elements that worked, but a lot of elements that worked in a traditional Zelda dungeon, like you'd see in Ocarina or Skyward Sword or Twilight Princess, a mix of some of the exploration-based dungeons that you would have seen in Breath of the Wild, and to take it even a step further, a mix of some of, like, the really open exploration base that you saw specifically in Hyrule Castle in Breath of the Wild. So I think that, like, all of them have, like, certain elements of all three of those, and some of them vary more than others.
Yeah, where they'll have, in the Rito dungeon case, the Wind Temple, it felt more like Divine Beast-ish than the traditional dungeon-ish. Maybe a good mix of Divine Beast and Hyrule Castle, whereas some other dungeons, like when we get to talking maybe about the Lightning Temple, felt a little bit more traditional to me.
I agree. Okay. Yes. Well, let's get to it. Let's start with our first dungeon, that we're going to, and that is the Wind Temple, which, okay, I'm just going to say it once. I'm not going to bring it up again for the whole show. You already know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I do. The name, huh?
You go ahead. You say it. You say it for me.
The name of that, it should have just been the Stormark or the whatever boat is called.
I hate it!
Instead of the Wind Temple. I understand that feeling now more that I played the game, but initially I was so excited. I thought we were going back to, like, I was like, oh yeah, like, this is giving me nostalgia. I love it. Like, just like Elemental Temple. Love it, you know? But I get the feeling now.
If it makes sense, then that's great. But, like, I feel like there's one temple that really makes sense to call it, like, the Fire Temple. Like, I'm like, right. Okay, that makes sense. You're in a temple. There's fire. Like, that makes sense. Like, this one, you're in a giant ship in the air. I guess there's wind, but, like, come on. Anyways, okay. Yeah. I promise that's the last time I'm going to bitch about this episode. I promise. okay. So once I kind of got over the initial, just kind of like, ugh. Like, when you get there and they're like, you got to activate the five gizmos. I thought that this was a pretty strong dungeon, actually. And I know that you felt it was kind of Divine Beastie, but I felt like this was more Hyrule Castle to me than Divine Beast.
I can get that, yeah.
If I had to, like, power percentage of the three, you know, of, like, Breath of the Wild, Hyrule Castle, Divine Beast, traditional Zelda dungeon, I would say, like, 40% Hyrule Castle, maybe, I don't know, 30 and 30. Maybe not 30 and 30, maybe a little bit more on,
like,
the Divine Beast side.
40 and...
Maybe.
20?
Maybe 50, 25, 25, how about that?
Okay.
But I thought that the dungeon was, like, really fun. It was a cool setting. Like, and I can't pretend that, like, the journey to get there didn't influence me, because, like, I thought that was incredible. And, like, there's lots of, like, really cool times, like, where you are jumping off the ship and, like, you're floating through the air and you gotta hit, like, the little trampolines and then get back up. And, like, I love that, like, on the sides of the ships, there's entrances that you need to take to get into the bunkers and stuff like that. So I thought that this one was, like, pretty strong, actually. I thought that it was a really, it was a good intro dungeon, and it was a good blend of kind of everything that we learned from Breath of the Wild mixed with something maybe just a little bit more, what's a good word? A little bit more, I don't know, hardcore, maybe, not hardcore, but, like, a little bit more traditional, let's just say. The actual dungeon, I felt like, was huge, too. This felt to me way bigger than any of the Divine Beasts.
I can understand that. I mean, Meadow was pretty big, but it was, like, just kind of a straight, like, plane, really, when you go wing to wing. But this was, like, a multi-tiered kind of boat, and the visuals of getting up there, the music of getting up there definitely played into the overall dungeon for me as well. I don't think this is the strongest dungeon, but it's definitely, like, higher than a couple of the others for me. The puzzles were okay. Some of them were kind of easy, much like how I felt about Meadow, you know. But, and there's one I'm pretty sure I didn't even do correctly. It just kind of happened, and I was like, okay, like, continuing on. But the puzzles were okay, and it was a little bit more than fine. That's what I'm trying to say. Is, like, it wasn't, like, just average. It was just a little bit more than, like, a good, it was great, you know, but it wasn't as fantastic as some of the others.
I think I liked it more than you. I thought that the setting was great. Like I said, I don't know about you, but I tried to, you know how there at the one side, there's that cannon that was, like, shooting you and tracking you and stuff like that. I kept on trying to, like, get in through the blaster to, like, get to the depths. There's like one switch that you need to activate that's in, like, the bottom most part. And I kept on trying to get in there. It did not work out well for me.
Gotcha, yeah.
I mean, I would say this. Like, I think that the puzzles, like, none of them really stick out to me. There was one where you did have to take an icicle and use it as, like, a, I guess, like,
to
a pipe.
To connect the two gears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To get the gear spinning. And that was kind of cool, because at that point, I was, like, when I was fusing things with Ultra Hand, you have the materials kind of, like, laying about. So that one, I was like, wow, okay, like, really, like, anything in the environment is able to be manipulated and used. So, like, that was kind of a cool moment for me. I'd say aside from that, like, none of the puzzles really stuck out, which isn't a bad thing. But they weren't bad, but they were kind of, like, you know, they were not memorable, I guess, is what I would say. But, I think that just, like, the... The actual just like aesthetic of the ship and the storm and like the everything, like all the smaller ships around it. I thought it was really cool. So, yes. And I thought that the music was pretty decent too, actually.
Mm-hmm. I love the music, especially going up, how it changes.
Yeah.
And another thing that I mentioned before on the show is that these dungeons, the more you activate the, I'm going to call them terminals because I don't remember what they're called for each dungeon, but that's what they were called for the Divine Beasts. Every time you activate a terminal, the music got more intense, which is like something that they did in like Final Dungeons and past Zelda games. So, yeah. And I love that. That's like one of my favorite things. So I just love that the music would get more intense as you continued on. Like you said, the puzzles weren't as memorable. Maybe the ice school one to turn the gears, because it made you kind of feel a little smart. You're like, yeah, oh my God, yeah, I can figure that out. That's cool. So... yeah, and then the aesthetic was, like, the overall, like, what I love the most about it.
I agree, yeah. So it was a kind of, it was a little bit Divine Beastie, but I would say that it was, it more so reminded me of Hyrule Castle in Breath mm-hmm. of the Wild in a good way. So, yes. And I think that, like, when I was playing it, I kind of just had, like, not an epiphany, but a moment where I was like, okay, these open world games are all about exploration. It probably makes sense that the dungeons should also feature a lot of exploration in them. And as long as they have cool puzzles, and as long as they have good music, and as long as they have like an awesome atmosphere, I can live with that. Like, would I prefer like a really tight, like constructed one gimmick that runs through the whole dungeon kind of temple, like Ocarina of Time? I probably would. But I was like, okay, if this is what they're going to be, I think this is probably on the higher side of like what these dungeons can be with those
yes.
kind of limitations. They're not limitations, mm-hmm. just the framework that they're working in. So yeah, I thought that this was pretty good. And I thought that the boss fight was awesome. The boss fight yes. was, I love, man, any boss fight where you're just like soaring through the sky and there's wind is like, it's like a cheat code for me where I'm just like, this is great. I thought Kolgra was really fun. And I had a blast fighting him. Spoiler, I fought him a few different times now, which is
yeah, same.
Fun. Yeah.
Same. I would say, so I'm just going to, Kolgra is my favorite boss fight. Kolgra is my absolute favorite. It's okay. Like it's the most epic. It has the best music. And I just freaking love that you're flying above this giant bug Kolgra thing. And he's shooting like ice spikes at you, and that you could just dive straight down and just break the ice in his little circles. And it's just so epic. It's so awesome. Cool. And I love that you can keep fighting him. I will say that, you know, when you go to, you know, like you said, spoiler alert, when there's depths and you can fight these bosses again, it does kind of take away a little bit from like the gravity of fighting these bosses the first time. But I still kind of like it, so I'm okay with it.
I like it too. There's one boss particularly, I feel like, that's really neutered by fighting him in the depths.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about next. But okay. Yeah, I thought this fight was great.
The music is so good in that fight. I can't get over it. It's so fantastic.
Music was awesome. The just diving through the air and like just like, it was almost like, you know when you're like playing Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom and like you're right by the dragon and you stop and it's like so cool because you're about to shoot it. It was almost kind of like the same vibe here, because I was dive bombing and then like slow motion Matrix style, like shooting three fire fruit arrows at his little ice pockets. This is awesome. This is so fun. Mm-hmm.
So it's my favorite. Like, and it kind of sucks that I did that one first, because I felt like it set me up to be like, these bosses are going to be so cool. And I mean, they are cool, but I felt like this was it. Once I did all the other bosses, I was like, this is clearly the best one. And I wish I didn't do it first.
You know, I don't know if I would say it was it's probably my second favorite boss.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. But I haven't completed all the bosses yet, so we'll see. Okay. I know we said we weren't going to rank him, but let's throw out some grades here. I would give this dungeon like a solid B+.
Me too. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
My only problem is that, like, I would want to grade it higher because of the boss. I love the boss so much, so I'd want it.
You do whatever you want, Al. You make the rules.
I would want to give it, like, an A-, not because of the dungeon itself. Like, I love the aesthetic, but the puzzles weren't as memorable, so that, like, takes it down from, like, an A+ to an A-.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Fire Temple next. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first? I'm looking these up on here's a plug, ZeldaDungeon.net.
Oh.
go look up the temple guides.
I've heard that site's pretty good.
I'm looking them up because it has been a couple weeks since we've done these dungeons, so yeah. I'm kind of looking them over.
Okay, so the Fire Temple I thought was fantastic. I think this is the best dungeon in the game. Which is something that I wasn't prepared to say. Like when, you know, we talked about it when we talked about the Goron Regional Phenomena. I feel like fire temples to me are kind of like almost like ho-hum. Because it's like there's one in every single game. And like there's, it can feel very like, I don't know what the right word I'm looking for is. But like, it's like, okay, like let's go to the fire portion. Like, let's do that. Whereas like in some games you kind of get a little bit more creative and you have like a sand dungeon or a futuristic style, you know what I mean? Like something like that. So it's like,
yeah,
it's been done a lot. The fire dungeon gimmick. So when I got to the fire temple, when I got to the fire temple, I was pretty pumped because like the whole, everything before it had been awesome. But when I set out to do the fire temple, I was like, okay, let's do this, throw it in the middle. I don't think it's going to be the best. I don't think it's going to be the worst. Like whatever, that's fine. But man, when we got to this dungeon, I was like blown away by how awesome it was. First of all, the music was wicked. The music was so like intense and awesome, and it kept on escalating, like as you say. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And to me, this was the dungeon that felt the most like a classic traditional Zelda dungeon, because there was a central gimmick that ran throughout the whole dungeon. And I think that like this is both a strength and a weakness of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, in that you can do anything in any order that you want. And that's, it's great in a lot of ways, but in some other ways, it's not great because it's like there's no cohesion or there's no flow to the dungeon.
Yep.
And I think that the Fire Temple was like, no, this is what we're going to do. You can do anything that you want in the right order, but if you do, it's going to suck for you. And instead, what we want you to do is start from the bottom and then slowly work your way to the top of the dungeon using the minecarts, using all of the different, like, switches to move the carts around. And, like, if you follow this series of progression, then you will get to the very top and then you dive right to the bottom, activate the last switch, and bam, you're right at the boss. So I loved, mm-hmm. I loved this dungeon. I mean, I love the minecarting in Tears of the Kingdom in general. Like, I think it's a blast. I think mm-hmm. that we, like, Yunobo on the front, when you're able to shoot him and hit the switches, is a blast. And I just felt like, I felt really smart. Like, I felt really rewarded when I got to the top and I was like, I cannot have got all this way up here to not find a switch. And then I was like, there's a little break in the ground. And I was like, I got to drop down there. And then I got to hit the switch. And I did it. And I came back up and I was like, there's one more. Like, did I just not do it? And is it, cause it says it's at the very bottom. And I was like, no, I'm going to hang up here. This dungeon has led me up here so far. So I'm going to keep with it. And so I built a big mofo bridge to get to the top and like dive bombed all the way to the bottom and activated the last switch. I just like, it was so rewarding and it felt so smart. And I was like, this reminds me of like Ocarina of Time's Water Temple, or like I can't think of another one off the top of my head, but like a temple that just had like a central mechanic to it and a flow to it and a rhythm. And I was like, after all these divine beasts, and even after like the Wind Temple, I was like, it was such a breath of fresh air that I was like just really, really satisfied and really happy with this fire dungeon. And like the aesthetic is so cool too. It's like awesome looking like ruined temple in like the depths, and you've got this lava everywhere. This was awesome. It was great.
So I knew that you liked the fire temple, but I didn't know that it was going to be your favorite, which I think is cool. I would say this is probably, it like fights the wind temple for being my second favorite, just because I like the puzzles more in the fire temple, but I like the boss and the getting to the wind temple more than the fire temple. So I agree with everything you said, though it's interesting. I'm curious about how everybody got to that final switch, because it's like in an unbreakable like kind of yeah. area. And for me, I didn't go to the top. I saw that there was a boulder blocking the door. So I built the ginormous bridge and I got it like wedged into the corner, and I sent Yanobo up there to break the boulder.
Okay.
And so, because I was like, I don't know how else to get there, and I felt like awesome and accomplished after I did that, because I had this ginormous, like, 20-piece bridge.
Yeah, my bridge was outrageous. It was ginormous.
Which took a lot of work, by the way, and I did drop it a couple times down into the lava, but thank God for recall, because that was able to get it back up to me, so.
Yeah,
and I love the vibe of, once again, it's called the Fire Temple, but probably could be called Gordania or whatever it's called, Gorondia, whatever that the temple name actually is.
I didn't say it.
The ancient city of Gorons, where they used to live underground. So, but yeah, it's like a cool aesthetic. The music is fantastic. I do love that the progression feels a little more linear. It's just kind of funny how we've talked about going up to Breath of the Wild, how we'd like to get away from some of the linearity. But I don't think, like, and we've talked about this on the show too, linearity isn't a bad thing. Like, sometimes it helps for, and I'm going to talk about this when we get to, like, the fifth or maybe the sixth dungeon, whatever. I'm going to talk about that because I think it's a big deal what they did with that dungeon. But I like that there was more linearity in this one. And I love that it felt like a Spirit Tracks, their Fire Temple, because Spirit Tracks doesn't get enough love. And I love that temple. It's great. And it has the mine carts where you're fighting enemies too. So I like it.
Yeah.
Your face as I was talking about the Spirit Temple, I was like, okay. I'm gonna go up here because I need to justify that I love this temple.
I promised you like 2 years ago I'd play Spirit Tracks, and I have not played Spirit Tracks, so I don't, maybe one day after I finish this Zelda game.
Last year you're like, oh look, I'm going on my honeymoon, why don't you guys talk about Spirit Tracks?
Right, that was not intentional at all. So yeah, it's I think that this is like such an awesome dungeon. Like everything about it clicks for me in such a great way. I just loved yeah, it was satisfying, it was like cohesive. I thought that this was fantastic, and it had an awesome boss fight. Particularly a boss fight that's only awesome in the Fire Temple, because I think if you fight Marbled Goma in the depths, it's not the same at all, because what happens in this boss fight is once you get to the halfway point, Marbled Goma will go on the roof and you have to shoot Yanobo. You have to shoot Yanobo up the side, and he's going on like 360, and like it's very cool. And in the depths, you get to the halfway point and you just kind of do the same thing where it's like, right. You know, you basically, instead of shooting three big boulders at you, he'll shoot the several of them that trap you in the circle. You have to move them. So it's like, yeah, this isn't quite the same as a Fire Temple. I don't think that boss fight was, like, particularly hard. I actually think he's one of the easier bosses, probably, in the game. But, like, it was fun. It was, like, just kind of a nice, fun, like, there's explosions happening everywhere. It's a cool arena. It felt chaotic, so I was a big fan of the boss fight, too. To cap everything off. And I would have loved the Fire Temple even if the boss would have been so. But yeah, everything about the Fire Temple is like really fantastic to me. And again, like I don't know, I wasn't expecting to like the Fire Temple as much as I did, because, you know, we've kind of been there, done that with fire themed dungeons over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Marbled Goma, so first off, after fighting Kolgara, like I like was riding on this high of, like, that was such an epic boss fight. I'm ready for the next one. And Marbled Goma is epic. It's not as epic, I would say. But I was also really excited about this return of past bosses. And, like, with the Blights, it was, like, meh, because they were all the same, different, but the same. But they weren't, like, I just liked going back to more Zelda roots and having like a Mulgara variant and now having another Goma variant. And I know we have a lot of Gomas, but I freaking love Goma. Goma's awesome. So I like popped off when Marbled Goma came out, and then it wound up being a really cool fight. I agree. But once you do it in the depths a few times, you're like, meh, this is just okay. It's not as good as it was in the Fire Temple. So
yeah,
I agree with you there that the boss was good there, but not good continuing on.
Yeah. Hey, like it's fine in the depths, it's fine, but like it's definitely missing that element that it has in the mm-hmm. Fire Temple. So yeah, really, I was a really big fan of the Fire Temple. And I was not the biggest fan of the Water Temple.
Wait, what's your grade for the Fire Temple?
Oh yeah, right. I'm gonna give it like a solid A. I'm gonna give it an A. Okay. I don't know if I could quite say A plus, just because like when I think of like A plus dungeons, I'm thinking of like and like my favorite dungeon ever is like the Forest Temple from Ocarina of Time. I'd say that's like an S tier, and I might say that the Spirit Temple is an S tier dungeon as well. But when I think of like A plus dungeons, I'm thinking of like Arbiter's Grounds. I'm thinking of like thinking of like Ancient Cistern. I'm thinking of like Sandship. Those really special dungeons. And I don't know if I could quite say that this is at that level, but it wasn't far off. What about you?
Okay. I'd say B plus. I think it just falls a little bit short because I love Kolgara so much. And that's like the only reason.
Okay. Well, let's transition over to this Water Temple. The words were coming out of my mouth. I was about to say I thought that it kind of stunk, but like I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's necessarily fair because I think like in a vacuum, the puzzles are fun, mm-hmm. like they're fun enough. But they're you know what the Water Temple was. You know how last week when we were talking about the Zora portion, we said that like it was like a series of small little chores that you need to do in order to get there, whereas the other three were kind of like these more longer, substantial quests.
Yeah, like a continuous, cohesive story that went along with the temple.
Right. I feel like you could take that and apply that to this Water Temple as well, where like especially the Fire Temple. Like, the Fire Temple had, like, one kind of path that you were meant to follow, one kind of, like, flow to it. And I think that the Lightning Temple and the Wind Temple have less so in that. Like, you can definitely go your different directions, but, like, It just felt like more cohesive. Like this Water Temple to me just felt like it felt like a divine beast, and not in a good way. Like it just kind of like I think that the aesthetic was wrong. Like it was weird to have a water temple up in the sky. I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's lots of ocean in Breath of the Wild that doesn't get a lot of
the
use.
Waterworks. Like the waterworks. Could have easily been the Water Temple, especially the music was so much better in the Waterworks. Like, the music in the Water Temple was fine, but, like, the Waterworks was so cool. I don't know why they just, like, only had that be a very, very, very small portion of that
Completely
quest.
Agree. Yeah, completely. I think that the placement of it was wrong. It felt weird. It was just a little bit duller than the other ones. Like, again, like, the puzzles by themselves, like, in a vacuum are fun, but it kind of felt like you were doing, like, four shrines instead of doing a dungeon, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It did feel like, it kind of felt like divine, this was probably more of, like, a 75% divine beast versus, you know, the other percentages. But, not to say that the divine beasts are bad, it's just that, they were all felt the same, and then this kind of just felt like another one, and... Like you said, the setting was so weird. They had a better area for the setting.
Mm-hmm.
The puzzles themselves were okay. I was excited about rising and or lowering the levels of water because that's very traditional, you know, Zelda water dungeon-ish thing to do. But it wasn't on a grand scale like we've seen before. It was very minimal.
I barely even remember doing it, to be honest. It was part of like one or two puzzles, wasn't it?
Maybe two or three.
Okay.
At least two. And then there was one where you could, there was like this really fast spinning thing that I remember trying to do this like really elaborate solve to. And then I just remembered that you could literally bullet time. And so I was like, oh, I'll just slow-mo and get the switch in there. And that's what I did. And so that was kind of a lame puzzle. And then, like, Sidon on top of it, like, the absolute... Yeah. Oh God, I feel so bad saying this, but Sidon is useless. Like, you really... The only time I have ever used any of his powers is to activate those terminals. Like...
Yeah.
And also, it was a weird... it was weird to go from do five of these, to do four. All of a sudden, it was four. I was like, why? Why do that? That doesn't make any sense. Why not keep it at five? Not that I needed that temple to be longer, but it was just, still, like, a weird...
It felt like it was already kind of, like, lacking, and then it was, like... it's even more lacking because there's less to do. And I think you're right. Like Sidon, I mean, like Hinobo was pretty fun to use in the Fire Temple. Like you would use him to either break boulders or change the pathway of the minecart. Tulin, I think, is very useful, especially when you're up in the sky. Riju, obviously very useful in her dungeon. Sidon, just it felt... and, like, this was the problem with the whole quest. It's like, you never really had Sidon until you got to the dungeon, and then his abilities were just, like, super useless. Like, even, like, when you had to get your weapon and hit the terminals, it was just kind of like... It felt very contrived. And then, what I don't think helped it is... I don't think that the music was all that memorable. I can't remember even what the music sounded like.
I can't remember the music either. I remember the Waterworks music, but I can't remember the music from the Water Temple.
And then I think that the boss was probably the weakest one.
Yes.
Probably the weakest one in the game, actually, so far. I thought it was weak, but I also thought it was kind of difficult, too. But, like, not in a good way. Because, like, what would happen is, like, I was fighting this boss, and, like, Sidon was, like, 1,000 miles away, and I was like, get over here, because I need your, like, I finally actually need your water to clear a path, and he was, like, forever to the side.
Used, like, an opal weapon, and that was far more useful than Sidon.
What's this? Muktarok, that's right. Yeah.
I was so ready for a Gyorg, like an awesome Gyorg fight. Because like I said, we were going back to kind of more traditional Zelda bosses, and we had like a Kolgara, we had Ermogara, we had a Goma. I was ready for Gyorg, and it turned out to be this dumb Octorok riding a Gyorg. It's just returning into a Gyorg. It was dumb. I'm sorry if people really like that boss. I don't like it.
I was fine with like the Octorok. Like that I feel like that kind of makes sense in like the context of like there's sludge everywhere and stuff like that. But
maybe sludge Gyorg.
Well, hey. I don't know. I just thought that the fight was kind of like, eh. That's my whole thought on like the dungeon and the Zora part in general is just kind of like, yeah. This is fine. This is like it reminded me of like Varuto, which is kind of like, okay, I already did this. Like, this feels like I'm doing it again. Whatever. I would give it like a C-.
I was going to say the same thing, yeah.
sorry to the Zora fans out there. But yeah. Okay, well, let's transition over to the Lightning Temple. This is your favorite, is it not?
I would say the dungeon itself is my favorite. I still love Kogara as the boss, but the dungeon is my favorite dungeon.
This is a very different, because speaking of bosses, actually, that's a good place to start. You start off hot in this dungeon. You started off fighting the Queen Ghibto, like, right away.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I got there, I was like, oh, man, like, do we not get to, like, explore a dungeon or anything like that? Like, I was like, was the Gerudo Town defense, like, the dungeon, quote unquote. So I was like, okay, whatever. Like even if that was the case, this is still gonna be pretty fun. And nope, you fought the boss a little bit, retreated, and then you get into this incredible dungeon with this incredible music. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, the music was incredible. This was like this gave me like flashbacks to the Spirit Temple from Ocarina of Time. Which you know what? I'm gonna plug something here, by the way. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be guest appearing on a Zelda podcast and talking all about the Spirit Temple, specifically, actually. So I'm going to be on the Hello Hyrule podcast talking about the Spirit Temple. So there you go. So I was getting huge Spirit Temple vibes. And I like a lot of this temple was very similar to the Spirit Temple. And like it was all about light and like making those, you know, the light puzzles with the beams and stuff like that. I thought the aesthetic was like so awesome, and like it was perfect that it was in the Gerudo Desert, and like just because there's so much empty space there, I thought this was fantastic. Like which is funny because I don't specifically remember a lot of the puzzles. Like I do remember like making my light beams in some very different ways, and like you having to scale up the den. Actually, I will say this: there in the bottom corner, there's like a rock that you can move that gives you a burst of wind to get up to the top of the dungeon. I didn't get that till I was like 90% done with the dungeon. I was like, oh my god, this has been here the whole time. I've been like ascending up, like, it's like, Jesus.
I did the opposite. I got that right away, but I also ascended right through the ceiling into the boss room. And I was like,
yeah, I did that too.
I'm not supposed to be here yet.
Yeah.
So I went back down. I do love that there's a central room that you have to do all the different mirrors with and I felt very mirror shieldy. I was like, this would be cool if we got a mirror shield in this game, but we didn't. You just made your own. And I just love that it was central and that you could move the statue, manipulate the light to open the four ways the four switches. And there were some ways where I manipulated the light that was clearly not how Nintendo intended it, because then I found the puzzle for how to manipulate it later, and I was like, oh, I could have made this a lot easier on myself if I just followed what the dungeon wanted me to do.
Dude, I was going
over here over here holding out a mirror, trying to get it at the right angle.
You know, I think it's the second or third level. There's the four statues that you can just move, and you're supposed to place them where they need to go. I was like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to, go along and move this one all the way here, move this one all the way there. And it ended up being exactly what you needed to do. So I was like, okay, cool. Didn't mean to do that, but great. Yeah, I thought the ascension to the top and, those little nooks where, you had to go and find the rooms were, pretty difficult to see. So, I felt kind of clever, finding them and stuff like that. And, I kind of love a dungeon where you, progressively, work your way up or, down or, towards your goal, basically. So, it was very satisfying, I felt like, this dungeon.
Yeah. There was one room. It's when you're in that central room and you could see the switch in front of you, but there's a gate. I did something so funky to get there. I went down underneath it and ascended up. Instead, there's literally rocks on the side that you can move. And you can get in there. I was like, I can't believe I just did this comic. But I love that I was able to figure it out that way.
Yeah.
And I love, and like you said, this one has a little bit of linearity to it too. It has the central and you could go off in whatever direction. But it was just so much fun to try and figure it out versus go off and just do a puzzle here for the water temple and here. Or the other dungeons are okay. I'm comparing it to the Watered Temple because it's not that great, but this was great, and I had a lot of fun. The puzzles made me feel smart, especially because I figured them out in a way that wasn't intended, and it was really cool. I love the vibe and the music and the aesthetic was great, and I don't usually love sand region temples, so
this wasn't it wasn't a sand, quote unquote sand dungeon necessarily. Yes, it was set in a desert, obviously, but pretty much all the puzzles had to do with light. You know what I mean? But I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think that if going back to my kind of three traditional Hyrule Castle from Breath of the Wild, Divine Beast, I would say that this to me felt 60% Hyrule Castle, 30% traditional dungeon, 10% Divine Beast.
Yes.
And that's a nice mix, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. That would have been nice for the other ones too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I just add that up right? Now I can't remember what I just said. Okay, good. Nobody correct me if I didn't.
60, 30, 10, I think is what you said.
Did I say that? Okay, perfect. Good. I think this is a fun dungeon, and then you cap it off with an awesome boss fight. I think this is probably my favorite boss fight in the game. Maybe not my favorite boss fight in the game, but of the four that we've talked about, I thought it was really fun.
Okay, I do think it's fun. But I think it's more hard and chaotic versus an epic fun time, which I fell with. I know I'm talking about Kogar a lot and plugging Kogar, but I just love that fight so much. So I kind of compare it to the other ones. I do like the epicness of Queen Ghibto, but I think it was just because it was more hard and chaotic that made it better than the other ones.
It kind of felt like an extension of defending the Gerudo town, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. And I love Queen Ghibto herself as a fight, I think is fun enough. But then when you hit the second phase of the fight and you have all the Ghibdos coming down, it's just chaos and you're firing arrows and you got Queen Ghibto kind of swiping at you when you're not looking. And it's just I thought it was I thought it was really fun. So, I would give this one, I'd probably give it an A as well, actually.
Okay, I think I would give it an A as well.
Maybe an A minus. How about that?
I'm okay with A because I like the dungeon more than I do Wind Temple. I just like the boss in Wind Temple more than I like the boss in Lightning Temple. So I could see it A minus.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so this is a point in the show. We have two dungeons left that we're going to talk about, but I do want to throw out another spoiler warning. I think we all know the four main dungeons. There are some other dungeons in this game, and in fact, I'm pretty sure that there is, like, actually a seventh dungeon, but we're not ready to talk about
that.
Don't know
yet. Yeah, right. We don't know. We're not there yet.
We don't know. But so, forgive us if we don't talk about the final, final dungeon.
If there is one.
Yeah. But we are going to talk about two more dungeons. One of them's probably not much of a spoiler, but the next one is. So let's give one last warning and just say, like, hey, this is your chance. Turn back if you don't want to hear about this next dungeon. I remember, Al, texting you one night, and I was like, I just found something in this game that was so awesome, and I wasn't expecting it, and it was so incredible. And what I found was the Spirit Temple. And I was like, this is awesome. This is so cool. I wasn't expecting this. I was like, I don't know. I was just like overjoyed that, like, first of all, I was like, the Spirit Temple itself is coming back. Like, that's so cool. And then I was just like, yeah, I just wasn't expecting it, because like Breath of the Wild, you kind of did your four. You went to the castle. You were kind of done. And so much of this game has followed the blueprint of Breath of the Wild that I was kind of expecting it to stay with that as well. So yes. I was very happy that the Spirit Temple was in here. But what we're going to do is kind of blend the Spirit Temple and the Construct Factory together, because the dungeon itself is in the Construct Factory, not the Spirit. The Spirit Temple is just a room with the boss fight, which is just kind of disappointing, but like, whatever, it's not that disappointing. So I'm about to say something that is like completely contradictory to what I said earlier when I was talking about the Water Temple, because when I was talking about the Water Temple, I was like, it kind of sucks that you could just go in like any different direction. Like, there's no flow, there's no cohesion, there's no nothing. I feel like the Construct Factory is essentially the exact same thing, but I loved it. And I don't know why.
I think it's because there's a purpose. I mean, there's a purpose in the Water Temple, but there's a purpose to going off in different directions to solve a puzzle in a room.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I would say that like both of them had purpose, but like, I don't know if it's just because I wasn't expecting the Spirit Temple, or I don't know what it was, but I thought it was great. And maybe it's just because it almost felt like a bonus rather than like a main thing that you needed to do. But I also think that all the puzzles separately were very fun as well. Definitely more so than the Water Temple. I'll say that. So your goal here is you got to build Minoru a body, and you build her this awesome mech. And so you're getting like the left arm, the right arm, the legs, etc., etc. And I thought like there were some like wicked puzzles in these places. Particularly the one that sticks out to me is the one where you have the lava, and there is a portion of it where you're going and you need to get the arm or leg or whatever it is across, and it's a really, really tight window, and like you've been using kind of a you've been using like a makeshift car to get this thing around over the lava, but your car doesn't fit through here anymore. I was like bamboozled on how to get this across until eventually I was like, you know what? Whatever, we're gonna try this. And I like had my car half hanging off with the wheels on the side, and I was like, eventually it worked. I was like, ah, yes. And I feel like there's like a lot of fun. Like, you could take the wing and get an arm down and kind of glide it to the factory. Like, you were sailing down a river. Like, it kind of felt like almost like the final divine beast in Breath of the Wild, where it kind of felt like a mix of like all these different elements that you needed to do in order to get these parts to Minoru. So I thought it was like really fun, and like it was a cool like just different kind of setting where it's like it harkened back to me to like Skyward Sword, where it's like you're in the mining facility, or you're in like a sand ship, or like you're in part of the environment and that's your dungeon. Whereas like the Spirit Temple or the Construct Factory more specifically, I was like, okay, cool, like this is part of my environment, but it's serving as a dungeon. So I really liked it.
That's fair enough. I would say the temple itself I enjoyed, but I actually have a problem with it. And and this is actually my biggest complaint about the game overall, besides the Koroks. And my complaint is that is supposed to be the final dungeon. However, because you're supposed to do Hyrule Castle first. And what Hyrule Castle does is activates spoiler warning, it finally activates the Ring Ruin quest.
Yes.
And this is you going to get Minoru, the fifth sage, to complete the game. And I think I really struggle with, I appreciate the open world, but I think that it's hurting Tears of the Kingdom because it doesn't let the story be a cohesive, continuous thing. Because we were both able to get to the Spirit Temple before we were supposed to, as the game intended, and I don't really care for that. I understand that being able to do an open world, go wherever you want, do whatever you want, I get it, but it was so jumbled, because we were able to do it, in my experience, it was so jumbled, and it made the story just, like, really weird. And then once you could finish that, and you could finish Hyrule Castle, and then you got this whole Ring Runes quest that you already did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's fair.
It's really odd. So I really wish that they had, instead of put a storm cloud over, you activate this by going up to the Dragon Head Islands in the storm cloud over the Faron region. If they could have made that blocked off besides more than just rain and thunderheads, if they made it so you literally couldn't get to it until you had to activate that quest, I would have appreciated it a lot more because it would have felt more cohesive, more, the story would have flowed better. And I have the same issue with the memories and with the story overall, which we'll talk about in the spoiler cast, but I just kind of wish that there was linearity on that point. All that said, I still loved it, though. The Construct Factory, going to those rooms, solving, because those are good puzzles. Those were, like, memorable puzzles. I loved every room, you know. Like you said, it was like the final Divine Beast in Breath of the Wild. And then putting together this awesome construct for Minoru was so cool. So I loved it. I just have a problem with how it was implemented.
I would agree with that. I strongly agree with that as well, because, like, it's... But that's like a problem with the game, I would say, versus like any specific dungeon. Whereas, like you said, we'll talk about it when we talk about the actual, like, story of the game. But even like the Dragon Tear side quest, like, I got a scene, where there was a pretty big spoiler, I guess. And it was like my second memory. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, would it be that hard? Like, these guys made a game where you can go through any ceiling, where you can fuse anything together, where you can, like, pick up anything and glue it to another. Like, would it have been that hard for them to, like, make it so that you just found a memory, and no matter which one it was, you get the next part of the story that plays? And, like, I get they're tied to, like, the glyphs, and, like, all those are a specific shape that tied to a specific memory, but, like, I do agree. I think that it's... I mean, kind of like I said, like, it's the strength and a curse of this game, where it's like, you can go anywhere and do anything in any order you want, but, like, sometimes that isn't always for the best. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good for exploration. It's not good for story and exposition and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I know
that's just my only issue with the Spirit Temple, really.
Yeah. And we'll circle back to this conversation when we talk about the story, but going back to the Spirit Temple, I think... Yes, I agree with that critique, but I do think that it was, like, very... It was just, like, a fun bonus temple, really.
It did feel like I had no idea we were going to get that.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. And, like, I think actually, like, getting what's a storm called?
The Dragon Head...
Yeah, Dragon Cloud Head thing, whatever.
Yeah, Dragon Head Island, and then there's the Thunder Island, or the Thunder Cloud Island, whatever. The music was so good on Thunderhead, or Dragon Head. Yeah, it
was pretty cool. And, like, even that was, like, really fun, like, just getting and, like, trying to see where the heck you're going. And, like, they have kind of, like, the Master Sword gimmick, too, where, like, you need a X amount of hearts in order to open the door, so... You know what, maybe that's how they could have done it. Like, maybe it's just, like, an insane number of hearts that you need.
Or maybe you needed...
an item that you get from the Hyrule Castle? I don't know.
Yeah, something that blocks it off from you. And I understand that it's against the open worldness, but, like, I really would have appreciated it more if we didn't get to do it early.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I loved the Construct Factory. I thought it was really fun. The march to the actual Spirit Temple was a little bit long, a little bit too long, but I think that, like, you probably need a few minutes to get used to everything that Minoru can do. I certainly did, with, like, all the The controls I find for her are like a little bit wonky, and I think that she's best served as like an ally in battle and not like you riding Minoru.
Right. Although it's pretty cool that you can.
It's great that you can, actually, specifically in the depths, because you can walk over all the gloom and you're totally scot-free. But when you finally get to the Spirit Temple, it doesn't really look like anything in particular. It looks kind of like any other ruin that you might see in the depths. But man, I don't know about you, Al, but I love this boss fight. This boss fight was so fun.
I did think about you and a lot of the guys at ZD. I was like, this feels like a WrestleMania something or other kind of fight.
Is that
the vibe you got?
Oh yeah. It was like a big boxing match where like you're in your construct, there's gloom on the ground, so you have to stay on Minoru. You're fighting the seized construct, and this thing is like, you know what it reminded me of was playing ARMS. Does anybody remember that game for the Nintendo Switch?
Yeah. I played that for a hot 2 seconds.
Yeah, I think I got the demo for it and it was kind of wonky. But this reminded me of ARMS, and I was like, maybe that game wasn't so bad. And I thought it was fun. It was like a simple boss battle, like nothing like too challenging by any means, but just kind of the boxing ring vibe. And like, I was having a good time with this boss battle, knocking him into the ropes, like, take that. Mm-hmm. It's good.
I understand why we had that boss fight, and it was basically the construct that Minoru had already made. And with Zelda, and it was taken over by the calamity or the gloom juice.
Yeah.
And you had to fight it. But I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of like looking forward to doing another like old school Zelda boss. So I was a little like disheartened because it kind of felt like when it emerged, I was like, oh my god, this looks like a blight. You know, it did kind of look like a blight.
Well, kind of.
But once you fight it, it was fun. I do agree. It was fun. It wasn't my favorite boss by any means. And I actually forgot to take a picture of it. So I'm hoping I do encounter it again in the depths. But
I don't know. Maybe you could go back to the Spirit Temple and it's reappeared after a blood moon or something like that. I thought it was really fun. We'll do a boss episode and we'll talk more about him at that time and we'll rank him or whatever. But not the best boss in the game. But like it was fun. It was different. It was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I want to say this before I forget. The cutscene at the end of this dungeon.
Oh, so much better.
I was just like, oh my god, I cannot watch the same cutscene for a fifth time. And by god, this cutscene was like a million times better than the other four. And I got to the Spirit Temple first, right? Probably with two dungeons left. But I was like, I'm not going to do it until I finish the first four.
Right,
so
I did the same thing.
I came back after. So I'd already seen this thing four times, and I was like, that's the imprisoning war. Yeah, I know what the imprisoning war is. This cutscene was way better. Way better.
So much better. And also, it was not just the imprisoning war cutscene, but there was like a lot of story too that we won't talk about because that's for the story spoiler episode. But like it was like a continuation of cutscenes that were awesome. And there was a point in the imprisoning war part, I think, where it kind of actually shows where like stuff happens beyond them falling in battle, you know? And I got goosebumps from Ganondorf, man. I was like, dang, like him and Raru. I was like, whew, like this is a good cutscene. I loved it. And my sister was kind of watching like, dang, the drama. She has no idea what's going on. She's like, this is drama.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Ganondorf was like kind of voice actor wise. Let me specify. I thought he was kind of like a little bit cheesy before, but this one I was kind of like, oh, okay. Now we're cooking. Now we've got something here. So this was a great cutscene. I'm gonna give this a solid B+. This dungeon.
Okay. I think I'm trying to like not be biased by my issue with the story continuity and that sort of thing. So. The dungeon itself was really cool, but the trek to get to the boss fight was kind of annoying, and the boss fight was fun. So I'd say this is probably more of a B for me.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, like, listen, like the finding it out of order is like a big part of the, you know, your enjoyment of it or not, right? So like I don't think that you should discount that necessarily. Like I think that's a extremely valid critique, and like if the Spirit Temple is kind of the one that suffers for it, then, you know, that's just kind of what it is. But
yeah, because I feel like if I had been able to do it in order, because instead of just like freaking forcing myself through that storm, because I was so curious about what was down there, I feel like the whole, like, it would have been a lot more cohesive. It would have felt like a more, like, a long stretch of a few quests that came together and made sense. Then I think it would have been a lot better.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about our last dungeon here. And it's a familiar dungeon. We've been there before. But we came back, and we went to Hyrule Castle. And, I like Hyrule Castle. Like, it's an incredible vibe. It's a incredible atmosphere. The only challenge here is that you've literally explored all of it before.
Yes.
Which by definition makes it like, you know, we've kind of been talking about our three, what's it more like? This is obviously 100% like Hyrule Castle from Breath of the Wild. Because yes, it is Hyrule Castle from Breath of the Wild. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say this. I think that the music was amazing. Even better than in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
I think
I did really like the music change. It was the same, but there was some other elements. There were some traditional Hyrule Castle music elements in there, too.
Right.
So it was great. It was also really loud, like really imposing.
Mm-hmm.
I had my volume at the same forever that I've been playing this game, but when I got the Hyrule, I had to turn it down. I was like, dang, this is like... Ooh, loud, you know?
Yeah.
So it was good. And my only problem with Hyrule Castle is it just didn't feel like a dungeon after doing all those other dungeons. You know what I mean?
I would actually say, I don't know if I don't disagree, but I don't agree either. I feel like I was always kind of at the mind when people talked about dungeons in Breath of the Wild. I was like, I don't really consider Hyrule Castle a dungeon. And I had that opinion for a long time. And eventually I kind of was like, whatever, if we're going to count it as a dungeon, like, that's fine. Because it is a great dungeon. This one, I think, to me, felt more dungeon-y than Hyrule Castle and Breath of the Wild did. Just specifically because, like, you got there, and there was, like, a path that you needed to follow in order to complete the dungeon and get to the final boss. And, like, the path wasn't always necessarily the most engaging because all you're doing is like fighting different monsters and stuff like that. But I would say at least it kind of like toured you around Hyrule Castle, whereas in Breath of the Wild, you didn't have to do anything like that. You could just go right to Calamity Ganon. So I did appreciate that. There's way more enemy diversity in Hyrule Castle this time around. But like, I guess... I don't know. It was tough because like we've been there before, we've done it before, we've kind of seen it. I feel like there was like a couple rooms that felt less kind of cool to me in this game. Like Zelda Study just kind of felt like, like there's nothing really going on in here. Zelda's room, same thing. Like the Sanctum even was kind of like, I mean, I got the Champion's Tunic, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
even that room was just kind of like, feels like this should be important, and it's kind of like a room. I don't know. I'm a little bit conflicted because I feel like it had a more of a purpose this time. It had awesome music, and as we'll talk about in just a sec, I think the final boss sequence was incredible. But it was, I don't know. It was kind of like going back to I don't know, the Forest Temple and Majora's Mask instead of like a new dungeon, you know.
Yeah, I guess I kind of understand what you're saying about how the rooms didn't feel as cool because you already knew those rooms and experienced those rooms, and there was emotion connected to those rooms in Breath of the Wild because this castle used to be like a bustling, amazing castle, and you knew that the Calamity had destroyed it. And so you go to Zelda's room, you read her diary, and it's like going around Hyrule in Tears of the Kingdom and seeing elements of Zelda in the world now. You saw that just in the castle in Breath of the Wild. So there was more emotion to it there. And like you said, we explored it before. There were some parts that felt a little different because they weren't connected anymore because now the castle's in the sky. And you could find the connection down on the ground. So that was kind of cool. But just the act of, like, there's no puzzles. There was nothing, like... that I felt like I was accomplishing aside from, you know, playing follow the leader and get attacked by monsters when you made it to each location until you got to the final part.
Yeah.
And even, I know you really like the boss battle, and I thought it was fine, but I feel like it was actually kind of hindered by the fact that you fight this boss in the overworld.
I could agree with that. Yeah. I could agree with that. I have an oddly weird, like, critique, I guess.
Okay.
In that, when I was playing Breath of the Wild and I got to Hyrule Castle, I remember just being like, I don't know, like, I thought that it was an incredible discovery that I had found a shrine underneath. I was like, I was not expecting to find that here. Now I could warp back here anytime. Cool. Whereas when I got to Hyrule Castle in the sky, I was like, okay, where's the shrine? Because I, you know what I mean? Like, I knew it would be there because it was in Breath of the Wild. So it was, that was kind of like a cool discovery for me in Breath of the Wild that was not able to be replicated in this game. I think I could see.
Did you not find the shrine in Hyrule Castle?
No, no. I found it. I found it.
Oh, okay.
But it's just that I knew that it was going to be there. Right? Like, whereas in Breath of the Wild, it just felt like a really cool discovery that I wasn't expecting. Whereas,
especially because it was like underground in the docks. Yeah.
And the first thing I did when I got to Hyrule Castle is like, where's the shrine? Because I don't want to have to, you know.
Makes sense. Okay. I get what you're saying.
So I really enjoyed the final sequence. I can appreciate what you're saying, though, about Phantom Ganon being on the overworld and that taking away. I think what might have been better, again, like, this is a drawback of the open world aspect, but, like, maybe what might have been better is, like, there's no Phantom Ganon on the overworld until you beat this part in Hyrule Castle. Although, I guess, I don't know how that would have affected the Master Sword quest. Maybe they just put a different boss underneath the Deku Tree. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's a couple different ways you could have done this. Like, yeah, you wouldn't fight. So you wouldn't fight the Gloom Hands and Phantom Ganon. Or maybe the Gloom Hands wouldn't spawn Phantom Ganon until after you defeated him in Hyrule Castle.
Maybe. But that being said.
Go ahead.
I thought this was awesome.
It was a cool fight, though.
It was a cool fight. Like, as you're probably surmising, my taste in boss battles, I love chaos, I love running around, I love, like, all this, like, I felt like I was in, like, the Battle of Helm's Deep or something like that. There was, like, enemies everywhere, like, powerful enemies, too. Like, the gloom was getting all over me, my hearts were kind of going down. I was never in danger of losing, but it felt like I was, almost, because, like, there's, like, so much cool stuff going on. Got some great weapons out of it, and the cutscene after was awesome!
Awesome. Great. Yeah, that's definitely a story one that we can't spoil yet. So
yeah,
that was a cool cutscene, and there was a cool cutscene leading up to it, though. And I don't know, should we wait until, like, story spoiler to discuss who we thought that?
Let's wait. But I will say this: I was once again when Breath of the Wild came out, I had all these cool theories in my head, and I was like, wow, what's this Calamity Ganon going to end up being? And, like, What's the secret behind it? And I had the same thing with this, like, Phantom Zelda. And I was like, who's it going to end up being? And in both cases, it was, like, the easiest, laziest kind of answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, okay. Whatever.
I had two theories, and they were both out there. But I would have loved if one of them... I would have popped off if one of them happened. And we'll talk about that later another day. But,
yeah
it was kind of like, oh... Okay, it's just more... Yeah. And again, if you hadn't faced Phantom Ganon in the overworld, it probably would have had a much bigger impact than it did.
Yeah, so...
Like the reveal. The fight was cool. The reveal was meh.
Yeah. Grading this is hard, because there's a lot of, like, really good stuff about it, and, like, I feel like if you... Here's the thing, like, if you've never played Breath of the Wild, this is probably, like, an A+ dungeon.
Okay.
At least an A, right? Like, I think if you have not played Breath of the Wild and you played this, and, like, this was your first time in Hyrule Castle, this is, like, an incredible experience, because, like, the music, the room layout, like, but how many of us playing this game did not play Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Which is actually, like, really fun, because that's it's a really engaging conversation that we'll have it another day, but, like, about what this game... Tears of the Kingdom does to Breath of the Wild's legacy, and Breath of the Wild is, like, in a placement of like our favorite Zelda games. I think it's a really interesting conversation, because, like,
it is interesting because I know that Breath of the Wild is not nearly as high as it's always been since its release now this year.
Like, I feel like it's gonna plummet on my list because it feels like, well, I'm just playing, like, Breath of the Wild Plus now, so, like, I don't know. I guess I would say if I were to grade this. A B minus, maybe? I don't know, Al. What do you think?
I'm going to say C, just because...
Oh, that's harsh.
It just, I didn't feel much purpose other than just following around, you know, following the line and fighting enemies that I've already faced in the overworld.
Well, you know, I mean, I can't say you're wrong, like, because factually that's exactly what you do, and I don't know, it's tough. I can't give it that low, because I think that there is a lot of cool stuff going on there, but like, it's...
There's a lot of cool stuff going on in Hyrule Castle for exploring. I went to explore it afterwards, and I found a bunch of cool stuff, a bunch of cool weapons. But it's just like how I did it in Breath of the Wild. So it's not much, it wasn't new and different for me. And I just, as a dungeon, I don't think it did what I wanted as a dungeon. It's good, and it's a good exploration piece, but it didn't do what I wanted as a dungeon.
Right. Well, there it is. I am pretty sure that we do have one more quasi-dungeon to talk about, but we're not going to talk about it today, because neither one of us have done it.
Yeah.
But when we do, maybe we'll wrap that into the spoiler cast, which at this point is going to be like, I thought we could do one episode. It's going to be several episodes, I think. At least two. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, that's our opinion on the dungeons of Tears of the Kingdom. A lot of them are really strong. Some of them are a little bit lacking, and some of them are hampered down by things that are not necessarily the fault of the dungeon themselves.
Right. Right.
But really the way that the game is laid out. So, so there you go. Let us know what you think of these dungeons in Tears of the Kingdom. We would love to know. You can check us out over on Discord. Join the Zelda Dungeons Discord. We're very active over there. And you can let us know over on Twitter as well. We're at the Zelda Cast. I'm at Spateri316 and Al is at Allison Alifa. One more time. JWG1S. You have won yourself a copy of Tears of the Kingdom, my friend. So, you have 1 week to email me, to DM me, to message me, and we'll get all the shipping details sorted out. If we don't hear from you, maybe we'll try again next week. But I'm hoping that we do. So congrats, you've won yourself a copy of Tears of the Kingdom. And thank you again to everybody for leaving the awesome reviews. We appreciate it. We appreciate the love. And we're excited to keep this train going. I can't remember. What are we doing next week, Al? Is it bosses?
Because I think we originally were going to do spoiler cast, but we decided to push it a little bit. We
decided to hold off, yeah. What we can tell everybody, maybe, while we're doing our outro here, is that we are going to be having a Q&A episode where we're going to take all of your questions for this game. And that is actually going to be a part of the Zelda Dungeon Marathon. We're going to have a live episode where we're taking all of your questions. And there's another gimmick attached to this episode. Should we go ahead and reveal it?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. So why not?
Let's go. So, Al, what's that show called?
Hot Ones.
Hot Ones. Okay, there's a show, okay, called Hot Ones, where people sit around and they eat really spicy chicken wings and they talk about stuff. And we, if nothing else, we're really good at ripping off other people's gimmicks. So what we're doing is we're ripping that gimmick off and we're bringing it to the Zelda Dungeon Marathon. We're going to be sitting around. We're going to be eating some hot wings. There's like an entire aisle of hot sauce at Woodman's in Chicago. So I don't know. Rest in peace to me, because I'm gonna die. I can't be spicy.
I love spicy food. Now, I'll probably die too, but I still love it. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. We're going to be taking all your questions there, and I'm looking forward to that. So don't worry, we are going to get to you guys. You're going to have a chance to get your thoughts on the show and all that stuff. So in the meantime, like I said, check us out on Twitter. You can also check us out wherever you get your Zelda podcast, but your podcast in general. You can check us out on Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere. Recommend us to that Zelda fan in your life. Like I said, we have some cool announcements coming up in the next couple weeks, so stay tuned for that. And I think that's it. I think that's all the plugs. I think we're good to get out of here, Al.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Until next week, everybody. Take care.
Bye.